Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast. This is episode 33. That means, by God, we have been doing this for the start of our ninth month at this point in time.
It's got to be, yeah.
Holy cow, I cannot believe we have been doing it for that long. But we are coming to you Wednesday evening, the 8th of March, a very, very special evening. Today was the first Twitch reveal of the Age of Triumph, which will be the final Destiny 1 live, I don't know what you want to call it, live event that's going to be showing up. That means this is going to have to hold us over all the way until fall of 2017. That and the hype train that will surely be picking up speed for Destiny 2, I'm guessing sometime around E3. But let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by only Kit Kutcha. Kit, how are you doing?
Merc, I'm doing excellent, man. I'm just riding the hype right now. My wife asked me earlier how my day was, and I was like, I don't even remember work. All I remember is the Age of Triumph reveal stream. Yes. And she got to listen to me talk about Destiny.
Yes. I purposely scheduled my lunch break around the reveal stream so that I could watch as much of it as possible. It was everything I hoped it would be and more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really, I feel like this should be enough at least to hold me over until June 13th when E3 begins and I sit glued to YouTube watching for any sign of a Destiny update.
Yes. And before we move on, for those of you wondering where NK Cougar is, NK Cougar has had real life get in the way, so until further notice, he's probably going to be AWOL on most of the episodes. We'll let you know as soon as possible when he gets back, but until then, we've actually got a series of guest hosts coming up. We're bringing on the famous Mr. Woodhouse, the subreddit moderator. You may know him as the Banhammer from Destiny the Game. We're going to be talking with Fallout, and we've also got a couple of, we'll call them, special happenings that may or may not be in the works, but we won't reveal anything about those until they're actually guaranteed to happen. But just want to give you guys a glimpse of the future. Also, until further notice, we will be doing our recordings on Wednesday night so that we can discuss the stream that's happening in the day. That means that our podcast will be coming out probably Thursday evening for at least the next 3 weeks, just to give you guys a heads up, so you can schedule your weeks around listening to our podcast.
Yeah, I can't even, this has just been, I feel like this has been such a crazy month. There's been so much good stuff going on in Destiny and for us as a podcast. And I mean, that all comes back to you guys tuning in, letting us know that this is worthwhile. And we've got these awesome guests that I am just so hyped to work with, people that I've looked up to as pillars of the community for a long time now. And some that you mentioned there, Mr. Woodhouse, the Banhammer himself, Fallout Plays, obviously we're working on getting that schedule firmed up here. Can't give you a date just yet, but soon. And some other very special guests that we are very excited to work with. I tweeted earlier, I don't even know how to hold all of this hype right now. I'm so pumped.
Yep. Hype for Massive Breakdown, hype for Age of Triumph, hype for Destiny 2, even though nothing has been released yet.
It's all happening, yeah.
All right, so let's get first things first out of the way. The stream was today. I'm sure many of you who weren't able to watch the stream are wondering what was in it. We want to clear this up. There was basically no new story missions. There was no new raids. There was nothing new in terms of playable content. There are new things you can acquire. There's going to be a new ghost, new sparrows, new armor, like new armor, not upgraded from blue and is now a legendary set armor, but like actual new armor we have not seen in the game before. There are going to be new ornaments. It's not, I actually had some people texting me about today saying, I don't know if this is going to be enough to hold me over until fall. And what I said to them is, this doesn't have to hold you over until fall. This only has to hold you over until around June, when we're assuming the Destiny 2 hype train starts rolling, and then we let Destiny 2 hold you over until fall. You know, if you leave between June and fall, it doesn't really matter at that point in time, because you know Destiny 2 is right around the corner.
Yeah.
People are going to be trying to get all their last achievements in Destiny. They're going to be trying to finish the record book, which the record book, by the way, is unbelievably massive.
Oh,
literally, I think 100 things to do.
Yeah.
But the Destiny 2 hype train will be able to hold you over. And I think this is probably the best possible way they could have closed out Destiny 1. They're literally bringing everything back, everything to current light level. They're like, go, do it all, play it all, get all the weapons, all the loadouts, all the armor, It's amazing to me. This was everything we predicted it would be, plus much, much more than that.
I mean, that's a good point. Like, for me right now, my focus is going to be taking a look at this record book, seeing, okay, what things have I not done? I know I don't have all the ghosts because I'm just lazy when it comes to ghost hunting. So that's one thing, you know, that's I already know, okay, now I have a reason to go back, finally finish that up. I've got a half dozen things I've already listed out. Okay, I need to go back and actually do this now. And that's just great for me. It's really, I feel like it's going to be a great way to finally kind of complete all the little things that I've been working on for the last few years and close out the story of Destiny in a big way. And there are still new people starting this game. Like, I have a friend who's just getting into Destiny right now. And he's getting in at I think, a perfect time for me to have him start, because I'm going to get to watch him go through all of this stuff and get to be the mentor, guardian, you know, going back and seeing it all the excitement through his eyes again. And he's got a friend who's literally just bought the game, so he's even newer. So this is really exciting for me. That now it's like they're getting something out of it, I'm getting something out of it. It's going to be a lot of fun. So that's I'm just really pumped. One thing I do want to point out, the ornaments. If I heard correctly on the stream, these are going to be master ornament slots on the helmets. There's going to be two different ornament slots for each set of raid gear, so a total of essentially 9 different possible raid gear appearances, 3 for each, because you'll have the default plus the 2 ornamental ones. And if I understand, the master ornamental slots are like what they did in SRL, where you put it on the helmet and it changes your entire gear appearance. Does that sound right to you, Merc?
Meaning changes the entire helmet's appearance?
The entire armor set. I think if you've got a matching set, maybe I misunderstood that, but that's...
I don't think that was okay. What they meant. I think what they meant was, because they were talking about the old armor coming back, and they said, well, no, the old armor isn't coming back. Right. But what they're doing, like SRL, is you'll have 2 ornaments on each. So you'll have the base armor, which is going to be new. Then you'll have 1 ornament, which will make it look like the old original armor. And then you'll have 1 ornament, which will make it look like something totally new. So you will be able to look the exact same as you did in year 1, but it's an ornament instead of the base armor. I think that's how I understood it, at least.
Okay. So maybe there's... I mean, I'm sure that's something that we'll see pretty quickly when it drops here. But yeah, I'm just like that there's going to be so much variety to appearances now. I can't wait to finally complete my year 1 Vault of Glass armor sets on all 3 characters. Because I really only did my Hunter year 1. And that's really exciting. Also, despite the lack of new content, they did note that the hard mode, the 390 light hard mode raids, are not going to be exactly the same as we remember them. So Vault of Glass, Crota's End, and King's Fall will all have some changes here and there. And actually, I think Wrath of the Machine as well. They mentioned that there were going to be... They said something about moving a switch, so that could be interesting.
I think for the most part, they're just going to be quality of life improvements, kind of, as opposed to, for Wrath of the Machine, at least. For Crota's End, they said they changed a lot. That's why it's the first, it's the featured reign. They said they changed a lot, and they want to show it off. I think that's a good thing. Crota's End is widely known as probably the least special of the raid experiences, the most easily cheesable, whatever you want to call it. Personally, I thought Crota's End was amazing because it was the perfect length for a raid. You could finish it in 30 minutes with an accomplished fire team. It was fun. It was simple. It was badass. It had one of the most unique atmospheres. I mean, and part of me feels bad saying that because I didn't raid Vault of Glass early on enough to really be in all of it. And I did a little bit for Crota's End. I was one of those people who was down there soloing the Abyss week 1 as soon as someone had figured out how to do it. And I was actually a little bit before that because I was using Don't Touch Me's, so I could just basically walk around and not be touched.
that was so much fun.
I loved Crota's End, and I hated that people cheesed it because it was such a short raid. I felt like you could do the entire thing without cheesing it. Why even bother? Like, why not just play the mechanics? I loved it. So I'm really glad they're bringing it back. I hope they're removing some of the cheeses and maybe adding a little bit more for some of the people to do in that final battle, because there's really only the sword bearer who had anything to do other than the other people shot rockets. There wasn't anything wrong with that. It was an interesting mechanic. It was, you know, it made it easy to be carried through the raid. I kind of wish Crota's End had come out first before Vault of Glass, because Crota's End would have been a perfect introductory raid. Like, if the Dark Below had been included with Vanilla Destiny, like it probably should have been, and Crota's End had been spliced into the story somewhere, that would have been the perfect beginner raid to teach people how to do, you know, Vault of Glass, to teach people to understand some of the mechanics and things. I really wish that happened. It didn't work out that way, but I'm glad that they're putting it first this time. I can't even imagine how amazing it would be to pick up Destiny on the 28th for the first time ever and have every single bit of content accessible at maximum light level. You will have every weapon, every bit of armor, every shader, every ghost, every sparrow, everything. If I was picking it up the 28th, I don't think I would be even close to done by the time Destiny 2 came out. Even if I played every single day for hours and hours a day, I'm so envious of people who are picking it up right now and just hopping into it. It's amazing.
Yeah, this, you know, if there's anybody who checks this out who's skeptical about buying Destiny 1 this late in the game, like this, it's such a bargain. You get so much for it. All the criticisms that may be leveled at it aside, it's those are all criticisms that come from people who've already put 500 plus hours into the game. So, you know, at that point, it's like, you know, you can get a little nitpicky, and that, you know, maybe comes off making it sound not great, but it's, we all love it, you know, for whatever flaws it might have. And this, you know, anytime somebody asks me, should I buy Destiny? My answer is yes. And this is still a great time to buy it. So yeah, I definitely would agree. I only wish we were getting paid to say that.
I know. I wish we could be shills. No such luck. But no. I mean, and those people who are questioning it probably aren't even, you know, listening to this podcast. But if you have any friends who are looking for a game to play over that summer drought, definitely point them in the direction, because this is going to be amazing starting March 28th. They've also, and keep in mind, this was only the first of three reveals. They're talking about the weekly schedule next week, and then after that, they're talking about sandbox updates. I believe Josh Hamrick is coming back on for the third stream. He's going to be the one talking about sandbox updates. So he's continuing his mission to keep the community informed. That's going to be awesome. But basically, the majority of this reveal was pointing out that the raids are coming back. All the weapons that are part of the raids are coming back. Elemental primaries are returning. How, we don't know yet. They're going to talk about that week three. But that means that the raid exotics are coming back. We're going to have a light 400 Vex Mythic class, light 400 Necrochasm. That's one I'm particularly excited about. I think that's going to be awesome. If this were year one, everybody would be fighting each other to get a Vex Mythic class to melt the Crucible, but thank God it is not. So it's only, you know, it's not nearly as good as it once was.
Don't speak too soon.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen in the sandbox update. What if they just buff everything back to its maximum power?
Fusion rifles need a buff.
Oh, dear God, please, no. Actually, yeah, special ammo-wise, they do, but their actual abilities, no, they don't. I mean, basically, this was a lot about the raids and then also about the record book. This record book is 13 pages long.
Yeah.
They've got some stuff for the stories. They've got a page each for a Titan, a Hunter, a Warlock. They got Strikes, Crucible, Raids, Collections, actually, which is one that really, really caught my eye. They've got them for ships. It looks like shaders, exotic weapons, Grimoire score, collecting dead ghosts, spelunking, disturbing the remains, which, let's not spoil that for anyone who doesn't know what that is. I highly recommend you pay a trip to the rocket yard on the Cosmodrome and find it for yourself. It's called Spelunker, if that gives you a hint. But they've got basically everything. They even have stuff for Trials of Osiris. And thankfully, being the gentleman they are, they have one for getting to the lighthouse, but they did not require that one to finish either the page or the record book itself. which I think is pretty nice of them, because they know some people, it's just, they don't want to be carried. They want to do it on their own. And those people, brave souls though they are, it may just not happen, sadly. But on the plus side, the fact that they have a Trials of Osiris 1 means there's probably going to be a lot more people playing Trials of Osiris starting March 28th. At least I very, very much hope so. I have not even cared about Trials for months and months and months, and even I will probably be, even though I think, from what I've seen, I'll have all the Trials ones done already before it starts. But I will be hopping into Trials of Osiris anyways. Just for the fun of the matter.
Yeah, I think I actually have completed, at the very least, the majority of the Trials page. I missed that Spelunker node. For anybody who doesn't know what that's about, you sweet summer child, go to Google right now and search "A Million Deaths Is Not Enough."
or go find it for yourself and learn the story. Do the research, learn the story on your own.
Post on Reddit when you find it and say, "I just found this for the first time. What is it?" Please, every time that happens, it just brings joy to my heart.
Yep. They've got, I'm trying to think. They got a lot of stuff. I honestly think, truth be told, that I'm going to have most of this done from the very, very time that the record book goes live, which makes me feel good. I mean, I've been an accomplished Destiny player. I've played a lot. I've done Trials. I've done all the raids. I've done the year one and two Moments of Triumph. I'll admit, I've been lazy. I haven't done the year three Rise of Iron ones yet. So shoot me, but all my friends stopped playing around December, and at that point in time, I just kind of gave up on it a little bit. But I think I'm going to have almost all these done. I have one of each character, a Hunter, a Titan, and a Warlock. You know, I think I'm going to have a lot of these, and I'm really, really proud about that, but I am going to 100% this book. I can promise you that now. I have two goals before Destiny 1 ends. One, I want to get my Hunters kill to death over two, and two, I want to 100% this record book. I'm at 1.98 on that Hunter. I'm so damn close. I'm so damn close, but I want to 100% this record book too, so I'm excited for this.
Those are awesome goals, man. I am really psyched for this as well. Like I said before, it's a big reminder to me to go and look back and see, okay, what did I miss over the last couple of years that I can get done? The collections page in particular, I know I've got work to do on. That, I think, is going to be the big one. I was just looking back through my Destiny item manager, taking a look at what I don't have. Gotta plug them because I love that app so much. But there are so many collections in this game, and I realized I've missed a couple of shaders along the way. I want to say like 95% of the shaders and emblems, because those are two things that really I care about looking snazzy. I don't care so much about riding in style as I realized was evidenced, but I'm super stoked to go back and complete some of those collections. And I know I've got work to do on my Titan especially. I've got some class-specific quests to go back and finish off. So that's... Yeah, it's... There's work to be done, man, but I'm definitely going to aim for that 100% as well. I want to see this through.
Yeah, and I think... I was just counting. I think I have 56 of the ships, and you need 75. So I'm going to have to go through. I'm going to have to buy some uncommon ships or something like that. Shaders, I probably should have the shaders. Exotic weapons. There's one or two that I'm missing. Quaint and Curious Grimoire. I definitely have over 5,000 Grimoire. That one will be easy peasy for me. And Recovering the Dead Ghost. That one is from the Wanderer page. That one I highly recommend. You go to destinyghosthunter.net and you search through the ghosts that you have and do not have. Some of the most fun I've ever had in this game by myself was just going through and collecting the dead ghost. The Crucible map ones are easy peasy, super quick, but the ones on the actual locations on Earth, it was some of the most fun I've ever had, simply going through by myself, maybe putting some headphones on, listening to some music, because there is a ghost in every single location of importance in the entire game. And it takes you on this beautiful tour of the world that Destiny is. You get to go to every point, areas you would never even think to go and sit and look around. It is amazing. I highly recommend that to anyone. Just take, wake up on a Saturday, grab yourself a beer, your preferred drink, whatever it is, and just sit down and spend a few hours collecting all the ghosts and just relax. You don't need to kill anything, or for most of them, you don't need to kill anything. Just hang out and just observe the beauty that Destiny 1 truly is. It's an amazing thing. It'll be a perfect way to go back and like look over everything that Destiny has been.
I'm really excited for that. That's something that I've always meant to spend time on, and it's just never been the priority. When I wanted to read the Grimoire, you know, I hit up the Ishtar Collective, right? And I just read the Grimoire that I want to read, and I get all caught up, and then, you know, then I kind of lose some of that motivation. But I mean, just there are so many beautiful areas in Destiny that you don't notice if you don't take a second sometimes to stop and look around. Like, there is so much work put into building a world in this game, and I feel like it's so immersive at times that you actually miss how immersive it is and how detailed it is. And so yeah, that's a fantastic point, that it's not just about like, oh, just doing a chore here, just going and picking up the ghosts. But yeah, it really does give you an opportunity to spend some time with the maps that you've already spent so much time in but not really seen maybe until now.
Yeah, and it's not at all a grindy experience either. It's very much a relaxing, rewarding experience. You're running to these different places, and each one is different enough. Whoever placed the ghost did a fantastic job of doing it. Each one is different enough that you really get the variety of flavors that Destiny has to offer. I mean, and what reason do we have to go back to the moon at this point in time anymore? Like, in between, you know, now and March 20th, most of us don't have a reason to go to the moon. Most of us don't have a reason to go to Mars. Most of us spend our time in the raids that are at current light level, running strikes randomly, which is the same path over and 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 over again, or we run the Crucible. I mean, we don't really have that much to do. I remember having to run circuits around the moon to pick up helium filaments. Back when farming was actually a thing, when you couldn't buy materials from the Vanguard Quartermaster or whatever his name was, you had to legitimately go farm that shit. Yeah. It was brutal, 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 but at the same time, it was so relaxing to just run in this perfect circuit and just pick stuff up, and you get a little time reward every single time. Now imagine that, but your circuit takes you around the entire path, all of Destiny, and you never backtrack over anything. You never repeat an area. Every single area is new. Imagine running that circuit, the reward of finding a ghost and picking it up, and just that little sparkle and seeing the Grimoire pop up. It's an amazing, amazing thing. It really makes you appreciate what Destiny is outside of the complaints that people have about it. It's an incredible experience. It's been a huge part of almost all of our lives for 3 years. Yeah. And for some reason, when I went to pick up the ghost, it struck me that way.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think the way you've described it is just really on point and exactly, you know, kind of. It's a great way to sum up what this experience has meant to us all. Whatever complaints, you know, we've had along the way, and you guys listening know that that we've had plenty of complaints along the way, but this is kind of the time to set a little bit of the salt aside and just appreciate that there have been a lot of good things along the way too, and to go back and remember some of those. And I'm sure, you know, in the weeks and months to come, we'll find plenty of other things to complain about, as we always do. Wouldn't be Destiny, and we wouldn't be Guardians if we didn't have a little salt. But yeah, right at this moment, I think it's all the other way. It's all sugar, baby.
Yep. That's nice. We're coasting from here on out. You know, it's all gravy between here and Destiny 2. All we got to do is play and hang out. We know better things are on the horizon. They've been promised to us. All we got to do is wait, ride that beautiful, beautiful big black hype train, and then scream and shout and stamp our feet when Bungie doesn't give us everything we ever wanted with Destiny 2. As is tradition.
Absolutely. I wanted to real quick go back and just take a second and make sure that we've mentioned all the details that we got out of the stream here, because I think there are a couple of things we haven't covered. I'm not sure if there's anything we want to talk about, but just revisiting everything. Release date is March 28th, 2017. That is a Tuesday, as you might expect. Light level is not increasing. I'm okay with that. At this point, I don't really want to grind light levels. I just want to do fun stuff and
complete my collections. 400's a fine cap.
Yeah, I'm good with it. All raids going up to light level 390, of course. They did announce that there will be something that I have been wishing for since year one. I'm sure a lot of you as well, weekly featured raids. And when a raid is the weekly featured raid, it will have all challenges available. So if you've ever not completed a challenge in King's Fall or Wrath of the Machine, it's going to get real easy because you'll be able to do them all at once. Challenge modes unlock the Age of Triumph ornament on the new raid armor, so definitely worth pursuing if that's something you're interested in. I believe it looked like they also had guaranteed raid set gear drops. I don't know if that's just the ornaments or if that means that you'll definitely get a piece of armor from every run. That would be nice if that was the case.
Yeah, it would be very nice.
I remember I started in January of year one, so I was a Christmas newbie, and we ran Crota three times a week for months, and it took forever to get all the armor pieces on just my hunter. I had three hunters briefly, because I just didn't care about the other classes, because I didn't know the beauty of Warlocks and Titans. I was young and innocent. And it still took me months to get all the armor pieces. The RNG was just rough. So that'll be really good. New rewards from the old raids. We already talked about the new armor. New raid sparrows, which I'm excited about. I was missing the sparrows for King's Fall and Wrath of the Machine. I couldn't understand why they wouldn't have had them. And they're giving them to us now, so that's good.
Hooray.
Armor from the raids at 400 light, of course. Updated raids available when they're not the weekly. So you can still run the 390 hard mode. It just won't have the challenges available, won't have the Age of Triumph ornament drops. Crota's End has less cheese. So many jokes about it being cheesy because it's on the moon this week on Reddit. You guys are so funny.
Ew. That was terrible.
The Oracle cheese for Vault of Glass will be fixed. Am I forgetting what that is? We always just did was the that? Oracles.
I don't remember what the Oracle cheese was. Like I said, I didn't run this early in year one, so I honestly have no idea.
Oracles are easy. I guess I never felt like there was any reason to try to cheese some of that because it wasn't hard. But that could be me. So, anyway, that's fixed, so don't worry about it because you can't do it anymore. Duration of the Oracles and Pre-Templar fight shortened, so that'll be nice to kind of get into the main meat of the Vault of Glass a little quicker. Of course, Vex Mythoclast is confirmed coming back. It's probably a safe bet that Necrochasm will come back at 400 light as well. These are two exotics that I have never been able to obtain. Mythoclast is, of course, the exotic from Vault of Glass. It drops from Vault of Glass, so it's pretty tough to get. It's a primary fusion rifle. Used to be totally, like, godly. You just melted people from across the map in an instant. It was horrible and terrifying by all accounts. I didn't really see a ton of that because I didn't play a ton of Crucible when I first started. Now it does still kill in 0.8 seconds if you land 5 crits, but
it's not hit scan. That's the biggest problem with it, though.
It's a fusion rifle.
Super inaccurate.
It's a fusion rifle, yeah, absolutely. So I still get killed by it every now and then, so it's not unusable, but it's definitely pretty difficult to use.
Yeah, I'd go so far as to call it brutal. I would not really be trying that gun out in Crucible too much at this point in time. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see what changes come in the sandbox update. But
yeah, looking forward to the spill. Necrochasm, like I said, we can assume is coming back. Necrochasm has a whole friggin' pile of steps to obtain. You've got to get a Crux of Crota from killing Crota in hard mode. My hope is that they make that a guaranteed or near guaranteed drop in the new 390 light, because I have killed Crota a lot, and I have never seen a Crux of Crota. So I don't know if you've got, I think you said you don't have that one either, Merc.
Nope, did not feel like grinding for that, not even a
Yeah.
little bit.
You also have to get a Husk of the Pit from killing. There are a couple of different knights that you can kill. One in the raid, one in a story mission. You can grind for that. I never bothered because I saw a few. Before I knew what they were, I deleted them. But those are relatively easy to obtain. It's the Crux of Crota that's the real tough step to get. So I never worried about the other steps. But that is a max rate of fire auto rifle. What really makes it stand out is that on a kill with a headshot, the enemy explodes. Which is just pretty awesome, because it happens pretty regularly. I believe it's actually glitched so that it can cause an explosion on any kill.
That'd be nice.
I don't think they ever fixed it because it didn't really see that much use. I could be wrong, but I believe that's what I heard a while back, and I never heard any mention of it getting fixed. So.
It's actually a good gun. It's probably one of the best of the low impact auto rifles. So, if you happen to have one, and I don't know how it's going to work with unlocking the newest light level one,
Yeah.
but you might want to give it a shot.
Yeah, if nothing else, it's a fun gun to play with. I've got a bunch of friends who tell me about it, and they only have good things to say. So PvE, PvP, it sounds like it's a blast to be able to use. So good on you if you've got it, and otherwise we'll look for more details soon. The other raid weapons, of course, aren't coming back. They're already available. Touch of Malice, which is borderline a raid weapon slash kind of quest weapon for Taken King. And then, boy, I always draw a blank on the pulse rifle that I just can't get a fire team together for. Outbreak Prime. Phew. Outbreak Prime, of course, is awesome and is the archetype you want for pulse rifle, although its stats aren't maybe ideal. It's a little closer to probably an Aegis of the Reef type pulse rifle. But it's got a cool perks in and out those Steven nodes, so definitely be interested to see if there are any changes that affect those guns. Moving on down the list here, almost to the end of it. They did hint that Elemental Primaries will be returning. It's unclear in what fashion, if there will be some perk changes on the original raid weapons. We just don't know, and it sounds like we will not know until we get to hear from Mr. Hamrick in a couple of weeks here. As far as the challenges, they did tee those up for us, so we do know week one, the weekly challenge raid will be Crota's End, then it's going to be Vault of Glass week two, King's Fall week three, and Wrath of the Machine week four. And they just wanted to go with Crota's End first, I think, because it was so cheesable and so heavily mocked in the community as being so easy to cheese and having so much. There were so many different ways, especially the bridge. I mean, I can think of probably three or four different cheeses. There are like six different ways to jump the gap without actually creating a bridge. I mean, it's
A shame.
I don't know what they're going to do to change it, but I'm looking forward to finding it out.
Just on top of that, it's nice that all the challenges are going to be unlocked every time it's a
Yeah.
weekly raid. I mean, that's going to make it so much easier. You can basically run the raid once with a competent fire team once you've learned the mechanics and get it all knocked out, get it out of the way if you haven't ever. I think the challenges are going to be a really fun addition to the year one raids as well. I'm truly looking forward to seeing how they work out.
Yeah, that's something I've been talking with people today, trying to figure out what they might be doing for some of the challenge modes. Because we know there are going to be two challenge modes for Wrath of, I'm sorry, for Vault of Glass. It's going to be the Templar and Atheon. And they hinted that Atheon, they believe the challenge mode might be the most difficult challenge mode they've ever created. I don't know what that means, and I'm really not even sure I can imagine what the challenge might be with Atheon, because of course, I mean, the fight is essentially you get the relic and you get teleported one side or the other, and you kill the oracles and get out, then you just DPS. I mean, there's not anything beyond that to it. It's not like I don't know. Maybe they'll limit the number of rounds or something. I will have to wait and see. But
I wouldn't think so. That'd be more like it's just a DPS check than it would anything else.
Yeah, I felt like that was too simple, but I just
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think we'll have any way to tell until they actually release it, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Certainly, I could imagine something along the lines of not allowing the same person to pick up the relic more than once in a row, but that seems too simple if it's the hardest challenge they've ever come up with. So we'll see. We'll see. I was kind of joking. The challenge mode for Crota's End, if it was the bridge, could just be doing it right.
Yeah, do the bridge the way we designed it. People would be like, oh God, no.
Which actually, I prefer it to do it that way. I think it's more fun, but I mean, whatever. Whatever. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. So, Crota, 3 of Coins will work on all raid bosses now, so that's gonna be nice. Be able to use those in the raids. Those are gonna be a great place, actually, I think, to farm 3 of Coins. Given the delay on them, Crota's End, once we get it down, is gonna be excellent. And I'm thinking that it's gonna work on the lower light versions.
They said all raid bosses, so I would think so.
So that could make 3 of Coins very farmable in the raids. The raids are actually a great place to farm Glimmer as well, because the shards that you get are directly convertible, and are also a great way to store up Glimmer if you just want to buy like a ton of stuff. Let's see, new armor sets and ornaments. I'm excited about this one because I've had some trouble with the King's Fall loot table. I don't know if you've had any difficulty. I mean, the main weapon I want is just Defiance of Yasmin.
No, I mean, I pretty much got everything I wanted from King's Fall and then just and left it behind. It was a fun raid.
I got one Defiance of Yasmin, and I wasn't really even considering sniping at the time, so I infused it into something else. And then I decided to try learning to get a little better at sniping, and man, I've never seen it drop again.
King's Fall, the weapons were really, really bad for PvP when they first came out. To the point where I looked at the whole lot of them, and with the exception of the sniper rifle, it was like, these all suck. I think the machine gun ended up being good, but the hand cannon was terrible. The scout rifle was bad. The pulse rifle was bad. The auto rifle was laughably horrible. Sniper rifle was pretty good. It turned out that the fusion was a little bit of a sleeper. It was actually pretty decent. At the time, it was bad because all fusions were bad and you really needed stability on it. And it was a slow charging one. People really weren't sure how they were working. The Thesen with Braze Frame was kind of the god roll. Although that might have actually been. No, that was about the same time. I'm trying to think. It didn't even have a sidearm. The shotgun was pretty horrendous. It was just all the weapons that came out of it were bad. Nobody really ran it for the weapons. They ran it for, or at least I didn't run it for the weapons. I ran it for the armor and the shaders and stuff like that. And for the fun of it, it was legitimately a very enjoyable raid. It was super technically intricate. So it was fun, but those weapons just all sucked, honestly.
Yeah, some of them were decent for PvE simply by virtue of having the cocoon perk. But the thing that I didn't really like is that unlike, the original raid weapons, these unique perks were A, not really like that outstanding, and B, they took up a regular perk slot. So you weren't really getting anything extra so much as you were like guaranteed to get this one perk, and hopefully that's what you want because you're gonna get it. So
Yeah, that was a poor decision.
I think that, I mean, I think they definitely, we can say that they learned with Wrath of the Machine at least a little bit. The weapons coming out of Wrath of the Machine have a little bit more applicability in different game modes. So anyway, yeah, so excited to see that at least that loot table is gonna be a little more forgiving and a little more generous, because there is that one gun I still want. We'll see if they make any actual changes to any of the other raid weapons. One thing I am happy about is that they did say that the patch notes are going to be vague on exactly what they're changing in the raids. There's nothing I like better in Destiny than a blind raid experience.
I thought you were gonna say there's nothing I like better than annoying vagueness, which is exactly what Bungie's special for. But no, a blind raid experience is fun too.
If I did love annoying vagueness, I would never quit you, Destiny. But No, I mean I did blind raid with King's Fall. I did it with Wrath of the Machine. It's just such a joy to go in and experience something like that for the first time when you don't have any clue what's going on. It's going to be a little different this time, of course, because I'll have some clue what's going on, but I'm looking forward to discovering the differences organically and then only later returning to Reddit and getting all the details when I've thoroughly frustrated myself.
That's exactly how it's going to go too. Thoroughly frustrated.
It'll be a good frustration. It'll be a fun one. And I'm always happy to go back to Reddit. The Destiny Reddit is a great place. Finally, we did learn that like there are literally two living human beings who know how many chests are in the Vault of Glass, and we know that they will never tell.
I thought that was pretty interesting. I mean, that they said that that's really the only two people, and who knows whether or not they're telling the truth. I assume they were, but it's pretty interesting that they're legitimately the only two people who know, the true secrets. If I had to guess, there's probably not another one out there, let's be real, but
Yeah.
it's fun to think about it.
It is. Yeah, it's one of those things where we can probably be 90% sure that there's nothing left to find. But there's that nagging chance. You never
But
know.
if there was.
Yeah. So that's really I'm glad that they can reference these jokes and these things that, we've poked fun at them for, or given them a hard time about, and not be sore or defensive. I mean, I've seen you hear stories sometimes about game developers kind of taking offense and getting defensive about their game, and I feel like Bungie, for as brutal as the community can be at times in judging their decision making, I feel like they take it in stride pretty well. Anyway, that's a joke that will never die, and I'm glad to see them carrying it on. Last note I had was that Destiny 1 continues to be online for the foreseeable future. So, even on into Destiny 2, we'll still be able to go back and play some of this old content if we want to.
That's definitely a good thing. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, very excited about that. Just knowing that it's going to still be there for me, knowing that these characters and this gear and everything. 3 years down the line from now, if I want to go back and play the original Vault of Glass, I can do that. That's about all there is, though. That's the whole reveal.
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered it. And like we said, there are going to be two more reveals upcoming. Again, the weekly rituals will be next week, and then the sandbox updates will be March 22nd.
Yes.
March 28th is the day it drops. All in all, that's pretty much it. Like I said, schedule's going to be changing for us for at least the next 3 weeks. We're going to be recording Wednesday night, dropping Thursday evening if all goes well, so that we can discuss the contents of each stream like we've done today. We're going to have some special guests on. Maybe one of us will be a special guest on another couple of podcasts. I don't know. We'll have to see. But I think that's it for this episode. Another short one, guys.
Yep. I think that's about all that anyone can really think about this week, and I'm okay with it. That's all I can think about. So, thanks for tuning in, Guardians.
Yes, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
And just a real quick final note, do remember to check out the rest of our friends on the Destiny Tracker Podcast Network. Of course, the Destiny Tracker Podcast, Destiny Down Under, Destiny Lorecast, Rabbit Hole Radio. And am I forgetting anybody? I sure hope not, or they will find me. But that's it. Check out the Destiny Tracker Podcast Network. They're great people. And be sure to tune in next week for more Age of Triumphs discussion right here on Destiny Massive Breakdowns. Peace out.